or so throughout the time I've been doing this, I've used this time on Sunday to do a review and comment on the 23rd Psalm, sort of take each verse one at a time and comment about it all the way through. And as I say, every couple of years I do that. The first time I did that was now well over 20 years ago. And after that sermon was done and the service was over, I got a letter in the mail a couple of days later. This was before email. Now I suppose I would have gotten the email and it would have been waiting for me when I got home. One of the members of the congregation took exception to one of the comments I'd made about one of the verses. The verse is, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, I'll tell you the exception she took in a minute, but I want to spend this whole time this morning talking about that one verse. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." And actually, it was just one word in that verse that set me to thinking. The fact that the word path is plural. That's an intriguing idea. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Implying that there's more than one. That perhaps some of the things that we imagine are absolute are at least ambiguous. Or maybe, and this is where I get into trouble, situationally dependent. To what extent is our ethic, our way of life, the things we believe, absolute or situational? And I would make the case, did then and would still, that all ethic is in at least one sense situational. Even if there's an absolute opinion or belief or principle to which we hold, each time it's invoked, it's at a different time and in a different place. And the context changes. So in light of all of that, I want to talk this morning about what's right on the paths of righteousness. But not just what's right, but when it's right now. How will you know when it's right now? Perhaps you know the name, you probably don't. Eli Harari is chief executive officer and founder of a company called SanDisk. He was in the news in the last couple of weeks because he's retiring. Eli Harari is a PhD-trained engineer out of Princeton and worked for several electronics companies prior to 1988 when he got at cross purposes with his employer over an idea he had that he thought he wanted to implement where he was working. And others took exception to that idea, so he said, okay, I'll start my own company. And he started SanDisk. And what SanDisk makes are these little flash memory chips that go into cameras and cell phones and all of that. And of course, that market has exploded, and SanDisk is an amazingly successful company. Well, he's retiring. And in the wake of that, there have been some news blogs about his life, the fact that he was a scientist and now an entrepreneur and a now outgoing president of an extraordinarily successful company because he had a very visionary idea that nobody else wanted back in 1988. Well, it turns out he holds or is partial holder of some 70 patents. This guy's quite an amazing engineer and inventor. And when asked, you know, to explain how that came to be, he said, it's really quite simple. He's a very apparently quiet and unassuming guy. He said, it's amazing what you can do when it doesn't matter who gets the credit, because all of his patents are team efforts. And he apparently, while captain of the team, is certainly a part of a team and recognizes it as such. Well, I would suggest that when it's right now, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Right is right, and the situation calls for what is. And what's far less important is who gets the credit. So as we seek to figure out what's right now, deciding an ethical decision, a procedural decision, a vocational decision, when it's right now, the credit is irrelevant. Secondly, I think you can tell when it's right now, when the abstract principle holds up to the specific example. We all hold strong principles. Abstract ideas, perhaps, that we would say, you know, this I believe no matter what. And then a situation occurs, maybe with someone you love, that is at odds with the principle. Well, then the principle is called into question. When it's right now, the principle and the moment converge. hardly anyone, I think, would disagree that pot smoking is a bad idea. It's illegal, it's expensive, it's unhealthy. Reasonably absolute principle, don't smoke pot. Early in my time in Lubbock, Texas, I had a student who knew I was a minister and came to my office and said, my uncle's got cancer. And he's bad sick, not only with the cancer, but the chemo's driving him nuts. And he knows I'm in a fraternity and said, can you get me some marijuana? I think I might want to try that. A kid in a fraternity able to do that? How amazing. And he directly said, as a minister, what do you think about that? Well, it took me about a second and a half to say, well, duh, if you think it can help him, get it. Now, many states have agreed with me, and medical marijuana is one of these issues that's on the fore of some political agendas. But what's even more interesting than that is that I teach a course called Alcohol, Drugs, and Society, and I tell that story, and I poll my students. And the question I ask them is, what do you think of that decision to agree with or even encourage someone to do this illegal thing on behalf of someone they love? As a minister, is that a ministerial or very pastoral thing to do? Who would say yes, who would say no? About a third of them say, you know what, ministers really shouldn't do that. Well, I mean, that's fine. Everybody has a right to their own take on it. And of course, I do that to generate some discussion. I think they need to spend a little more, they haven't lived long enough yet. To hold on to that. My point is this. It is a situational decision, and it's an intriguing idea that even something that is nominally dangerous and illegal might, given time and circumstance, be of use. And again, several states have put this on their agenda to try to determine how beneficial this might be. When it's right now is when the abstract and the particular coincide. It's one thing to say, I would never. I would hope no one ever would. But someone I love just did. Now what? When it's right now, the abstract and the particular come together. Thirdly, I learned as a child from Davy Crockett that always be sure you're right, then go ahead, is the way to do it. I've learned as an adult, that you can never be sure you're right. One of the criteria for understanding what's right now is that I could be wrong. And I know that I could be wrong because, frankly, I've been wrong before, as has everybody in this room, I suspect. I could be wrong. Nobody has a decision that is more consequential in one way. Or maybe a decision that has to be done so quickly than physicians, especially emergency room physicians. And one of the hallmark principles of medical ethics, in Latin it goes primum non cosere, which means first do no harm. First do no harm. Well, all of us know how to make a bad situation worse, don't we? Somebody says something and your hackles get up and you're very happy to pour a little gasoline on just a smoldering fire, and pretty soon it's an inferno. And then we're no longer talking about the smoldering fire, we're talking about what you did to make it worse. First do no harm is a useful ethic in a situation because you might be wrong. On the other hand, do something. Do something. I had a psychologist tell me one time, the most destructive words in the English language are, you could have done better. Could have done better. And the point was this, if you could have done better, you would have. We're not stupid, we're not mean, typically. But given what you knew, given the situation at hand, given your abilities at the moment, you always do your best. In retrospect, you might have done something differently. In retrospect, you would have realized that the information you had on which you based the decision was faulty, but at the time, it seemed like a good idea. And that seems to let us off the hook in some ways. But I think it illustrates how what's right now comes to be. You can do nothing, and the situation will be what it is. You can seek to intervene and be of use, knowing full well that you may be wrong. But nonetheless, you're in the game. One of the most puzzling things Martin Luther ever said was this. He said, sin boldly. All right. But trust in the grace of God more boldly still. And by that, I think he means, you will do what you do with insufficient information. You will walk with feet of clay. You will make mistakes. But he will lead you in the paths of righteousness, the Good Shepherd. And you will learn. You will even learn from your mistakes. And on occasion, you'll get it right. And you will be a touchstone of peace and grace and hope for the people in your life. When it's right now, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. When it's right now, it's right for the person you love in the moment. And when it's right now, it could be wrong, but the Good Shepherd will lead us in the paths of righteousness and make us instruments of his peace. Amen.